Breaking news today on Seculo as Title 42 ends and the floodgates at the borders are open.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110 on this Friday. And what a Friday it is as the border. Now, don't believe the Biden administration. Of course, they will tell you the border is closed because that's a technicality that, of course, we don't keep. There's only certain crossings on the border that are supposed to be open. But when they say it's closed, is it effectively closed? No, not at all. And they have lost the power to expel migrants who they catch. So you can't just turn them around. Now you have to process them. They went so far. I just want you to understand about where the Biden administration is on this. They went into federal court. They wanted to be able to release these individuals who are illegal immigrants, not necessarily just the asylum seekers, illegal immigrants, on what's called parole. And when they released them on that parole, they wouldn't even have a date to appear to court.
You just had to give a promise that you would appear. That was the nature of the release.
When you got the notice, which right. That just begs the question of how is that person ever going to get the notice and why on earth would they respond to it 10 years from now when they actually get the notice? That's how far the backup is.
Yeah, well, they're not going to.
It's 5 to 10 years to even get a notice.
This is how they were trying to avoid the backup at the border that's going to take place now, which is going to be very dramatic in scope and nature and number. I mean, they did
shove them all through.
Well, that's why they wanted the basically release. It's, you know, they used to talk about the thing catch and release, but this was just come in, release, tell us you'll come back, we give you parole basically, and then you'll never hear from them again, and then these people, you know, are here illegally. At least we, you know, if there was a system where we could track it, at least we could get tax revenue from these folks when they're working.
Yeah, I mean, the judge has stepped in and said, no, you cannot do that. You cannot release people without a date for their hearing. Now, that lasts for 2 weeks. Of course, though, what does the Biden administration do? They are challenging that. They are appealing that decision. So when they try to talk tough these last couple of days and today on border security, just know that they are fighting against policies that would be much tougher in federal court because they don't want to have to give those illegal immigrants an actual date to appear. You know why? It would be shocking to you about how long it's going to take. 5 to 10 years. 5 to 10 years before they even get a notice to appear. And once they get that notice to appear, it could be another year to appear. So you're talking about someone could be in the United States for over a decade and then finally get a notice to appear that would potentially throw them out of the country.
This is where
do you think they're going to respond to that? Do you think they'll even be able to track them down and find them? No. So this is what we are up against at the ACLJ. And what we encourage you to do is to keep us in this fight. We've launched ACLJ.org/coverup, again, to just show how they don't want you to know about the terrorists crossing the border. I wonder how many terrorists are going to cross the border in the net just this weekend.
Listen, if it's just one or two, it's too many.
It'll be more than that.
Of course it will be. And this is look, we were able to uncover that the government, the Biden administration was trying to cover up the fact that terrorists did get into the country, but they were apprehended, which was a good thing. But the problem was they apprehended 2, but they said there were as many as 70. And that's what they apprehended. So who knows what they did not apprehend. When we got that information, we found out that DHS was pleased that their agents made the arrest, as we all are. But then we're told to take down the information from the website of DHS Homeland Security because that was counter to the narrative that the Biden administration won out of there. And that's why, as Jordan said, we have our campaign right now. This cover-up is a huge issue. We got a great video on that available, a whole series of things. We're still in that case getting information. But this is why you need to keep us in the fight at ACLJ.org. It's that critical.
Yeah, donate today. ACLJ.org. We need your financial contributions to continue the fight, to expand the fight. You know, we're fighting for parental rights in Nevada. We talked about that yesterday. We've got a new case that we will announce on Monday in Washington State, fighting for your free speech rights, going to court. Support the work of the ACLJ. Donate today, ACLJ.org. Welcome back to Seculo. This came from Phil Bill Malooch, who's at the border, and he just tweeted that per CBP sources yesterday was the first time in 3 days that Border Patrol apprehended under 10,000 immigrants. They apprehended less immigrants. Even though we haven't seen a post-Title 42 surge yet, remember that was
pre-Title
42 coming to a close, he's told that CBP has about 25,000 migrants in custody as of this morning.
Yeah, so this is
that is the problem without having Title 42 is we're having to put these people into custody.
Yeah, but they don't call it jail, but effectively it is.
You cannot immediately expel them. So if you're already at 25,000 in a few hours, okay, how many people are we going to have in CBP custody before they have to just start letting them out?
Not many more.
Yeah, I mean, you can't build enough buildings to hold 200,000 people.
So here's the problem that we have is there was no plan in place. Title 42 expired because the COVID pandemic was over with. Okay, well, then you could have had an executive order that gave a priority on how you'll deal with this. Priority discretion is constitutional under the Article 2 powers, and it certainly would have been appropriate. It did not happen. Mayorkas says it's going to be chaotic down there. The president said it's going to be chaotic down there. The problem in the chaos is not the 25,000 people that are in custody. It's the 25,000 people that aren't and where they are and what they're up to and the sex trafficking and the drug cartels and the human trafficking. And all of that's taking place. Now, here's the problem. When you don't have a plan, you have problems. And we don't have a plan.
No, we want to take your calls on it. 1-800-684-3110.
Especially from border states.
1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Yes, if you're on a border state especially, and also if you're in one of these cities that migrants are being shipped to, what has the change been like, and are you preparing for another massive influx of people who are coming without resources, without documentation, without jobs, without necessarily family, who are then a gigantic burden on just the basic infrastructure of your town or city, whether it's the hospitals, the roads, the centers to take in the homeless, the charitable organizations trying to do the right thing just by helping out human beings. We want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. We know there's also the criminal element, the fentanyl element. There was a plan, and I'm going to preach it over and over. Senate Republicans and Bill Hagerty had a piece of legislation. Four times the Democrats voted it down in the U.S. Senate as of just last week. And it would have extended Title 42 because of the fentanyl epidemic. So they would have utilized Title 42 to say, we've got a fentanyl epidemic. It is the number one killer of Americans between the ages of 18 and 45. The number one killer. And it predominantly comes across the southern border. Made in China, like the virus, and then it comes across through the southern border. So there was an opportunity for Democrats to extend this power. This idea, Dad, that when they throw their hands up in the air and say, well, Congress didn't give us any more power, they voted against getting more power. Republicans wanted to give Democrats an extended Title 42 power because of the fentanyl crisis, but that would mean they would have to acknowledge how serious the fentanyl crisis was.
Our phone lines are lighting up at 1-800-684-3110, especially if you're calling from a border state. And I want to show you what. So Congress has passed legislation that would really, as Jordan mentioned, the House did, that would really help this situation. Here's the problem. The Senate's not going to move it. They're just not going to move it. They're not going to put a border wall in place. They're not going to put the 22,000 additional. They'll take 87,000 IRS agents, but they're not going to put 22,000 additional Custom and Border Patrol agents that would impact and help every community in the United States is now is in this border crisis. Don't kid yourself for a moment. Now, I want to put up on the screen our complaint. This was the federal lawsuit that we filed in the United States District Court for the District of Columbia. It's captioned American Center for Law and Justice versus the United States Department of Homeland Security, the United States Customs and Border Patrol, and the United States Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Truth is, Customs and Border Protection wanted to get us documents in this because they responded. And that's how we found out what happened where the government, our government, the Biden administration, hid the ball on what was happening with the terrorists at the border. So we talk about drug smuggling, sex trafficking, human trafficking. We don't talk a lot about the terrorists at the border, but there they were. Two of them caught who knows how many have not been. And that's why you got to stay in this fight, and that's why you got to be engaged in this, and you've got to be aware of what's going on. We're going to be joined by our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, Mike Pompeo, a little bit later in the broadcast. He, interestingly, has a new article out that we have posted at ACLJ.org that deals with all of this. And he talks about it. He says, Title 42 expires. Immigration catastrophe is coming, and Biden is to blame.
Yeah, and I just want to underscore to people, I do think, you know, the Democrats have this long-term plan. They have no plan to secure our border. Their long-term plan is to let these individuals into the country. And their hope, I'd call it a pipe dream because it's never occurred, is that they will be able to legalize these individuals. And they will then be so grateful to Democrats for letting them in the country when they did, that they will build up this huge new voting base in the United States of America, basically change our entire demographics. But then when you actually go to the numbers and you see that people are coming from over 120 different countries, this isn't just Hispanic. This isn't just Central American. Yesterday I was reading about a report of a group about, I think it was up to 18,000 Haitians. They haven't made the cross yet, but right. You can see them in Juarez. And they're gathering together. They're being told what you need to do.
And then they'll come over at a particular time.
And there's a certain amount of Haitians that we are allowing in right now under humanitarian grounds. So they want to make sure they get in before that number is hit. I think it's 30,000 specifically from Haiti. So you've got 18,000 of that 30,000. They want to make sure they're going to get that humanitarian, a separate kind of treatment, almost like asylum. It's like immediate asylum because of the unrest in their countries. That's what we wish we had more opportunity to do, is to quickly allow people in from countries who really are facing disaster, like Venezuela, like Haiti, so that they can improve their life, especially if they are people who can benefit the U.S. economy, which is something we look at also in those situations. But those folks who really need to be here the most, the land of freedom and opportunity, are being excluded because of the illegal migrants coming over only for economic purposes.
It's exactly right. Let's go to the phones. We said we would. 1-800-684-3110. Lines are jammed right now. We'll try to open some of them up. Let's go to James, who's calling from Arizona. James, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
How you guys doing? You know, the good thing about what you're saying is this, you're looking at this from a holistic standpoint. It's not just homelessness here in the States. It's not just folks trying to get across the border, but the root cause, the root cause is mental illness and joblessness, and we're not processing people effectively. And I think part of the reason President Trump put Space Force into operation was for folks that don't necessarily, you know, not work, but for folks that are looking for something they can do to support the country and to move forward progressively versus, you know, just throwing everything out the window and leaving the country. We don't want that.
Let me tell you something else about the Space Force, what people realize, which I thought was a great idea, because, listen, the Chinese and the Russians are doing it.
It's the new battlefield.
It is a new battlefield, but it also allows technology and significant technology. And you know what that technology can be utilized for? Everything from beating them in space to beating them on the ground at the border.
To also just beating them economically, having better products.
Yeah.
It teaches you all these new ways to utilize your electronics better, and it brings a lot more of that idea and creation back to the United States of America, like Musk has done through programs like SpaceX and, again, a Space Force cooperating with companies like that and contractors like that. It builds up an entire new industry, and I think that's what you're getting to, is an entire new industry that can benefit Americans. I want to play this quickly.
Yeah, the video.
Our video. This is from ACLJ.org. We launched this campaign, ACLJ.org/coverup. This is a day to share this video with your friends and family. I am asking you to post this to your social media accounts. You go to aclj.org/coverup, and you can share it there. Take a listen or watch.
In 2021, two Yemeni nationals on the FBI terror watch list were caught by U.S. Border Patrol agents. This was a heroic moment. Deep state officials silence the heroism of our border agents who put their lives on the line to keep us safe. The White House doesn't want you to know they've lost all control of the border. If it wasn't for the work of the ACLJ filing a Freedom of Information Act request, you would never have known how close terrorists came to disappearing into the shadows of our city streets. We were able to do this all thanks to you. Keep us in the fight. To learn more, go to aclj.org/coverup.
Folks, we want to take more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We are monitoring closely what is happening at the border. There are riot police there, Texas National Guard there. They're just trying to make human chains to prevent people. There are, again, massive amounts of migrants you can see in Mexico waiting for the best time to cross. We'll be right back. So I do want you to know that Republicans are taking action when they can. I told you about Bill Haggard. He's had his legislation voted down four times by Democrats that would extend Title 42 power to the Biden administration. They would declare that the pandemic is over, but there's a fentanyl epidemic since it's the number one killer of Americans between the ages of 18 to 45. And you'd think if the Democrats were saying, oh, it's going to be a little chaotic, we've lost this Title 42 power, so we'd like this, right? I mean, it shouldn't be partisan. Protecting American lives, giving you that power. They voted against it. Because remember, they didn't want Title 42, Dad, to extend this long. A court mandated.
No, that's the only reason it happened. And we act like Title 42 was the only vehicle available by the federal government, and that's just not true. As you said, Senator Hagerty had a bill that would have given the Biden administration the authority because of the fentanyl epidemic in this country to take action. Sex trafficking and human trafficking would have been enough. Frankly, the terrorism situation would have been enough to do that protection.
Well, and the House passed yesterday, and a lot of people thought that Kevin McCarthy was not going to be able to do this. And he's been able to deliver, which puts the Democrats then on notice. They all had to take a vote on this, which means they're all up for re-election next term in the House. So they'll have to explain to the people why they voted against the Secure Border Act of 2023, which would first mandate that Customs and Border Patrol, Border Protection hire enough Border Patrol agents to maintain a staff of 22,000. Number two, develop a plan to upgrade their existing technology to make sure the agents are well-equipped. And number three, require, of course, this is why the Democrats don't like it, Homeland Security Secretary to resume construction of the border wall, which they, of course, call xenophobic and racist and inappropriate, even though it worked. And we saw that whole exchange between Donald Trump and Caitlin Collins about how many miles. And the fact is that most of the wall that they considered there was, I mean, it was a joke. It was like pieces of old
steel on the floor,
on the ground, or old fences that had been fallen over with holes cut out in them. And, oh, they don't count that as new, though. Those were just repairs. I mean, they weren't just repairs. They were fundamentally transforming. I think it was up to about 300 miles of actual border wall. And guess what? That worked. Now, there's more to be done there. House Republicans were able to pass it. Democrats all voted no.
And, of course, it won't go to the Senate. It'll do nothing with it.
No, but it just tells you that when they're given an opportunity to improve the situation, they will not. And it's not because they have no plan. It's because their plan is something they can't tell you. And they can't go up and tell you. They cannot say from the podium, our plan is to allow this chaos, allow these children to die, allow the human trafficking, the drug trafficking, and all these Americans to get killed and young girls being caught into sex trafficking. Because long term, we think we'll be able to legalize these folks, and they'll be thankful to Democrats for allowing them to cross the border, so we'll get their votes. But they can't say that from the podium.
No, but you know, I said this earlier, and we're getting calls from all over the country, and we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. Every state is a border state. But the surge impact on the border states, our border states, Texas, Arizona, those states, is dramatic. California, for that matter. And because just the sheer numbers that we're talking about here. But every state now is a border state.
Yeah, it seems that way as kind of time progresses. We're actually seeing it from all the callers that are coming in. A lot of people are having issues. And we're not talking about people just calling from, you know, the West. We're coming from
New York City
and from Maryland. Let's go to Cheryl, who's calling in New York City on line four. You're on the air.
Hey, Cheryl.
Oh, hold on, Cheryl. Now you're on the
air. Hi, thanks for taking my call. God bless you for all you do. So, of course, I live in New York City, one of the biggest sanctuary cities. And I just wanted to know, because when Mayor Bill de Blasio was in office, he was the one that established New York be a sanctuary city. And when Eric Adams came into office, he said he was going to keep the sanctuary city status. He keeps complaining and complaining. New York City can't take this much more. We can't sustain this much more. But as mayor, does he have the authority, or can't he rescind the sanctuary city status that is in place on New York City?
He couldn't rescind, and it may have to go through the city council to rescind the sanctuary status, which is not going to happen. Nope. So that's in there. You got that. But what he still could do as mayor, he could declare a public health emergency,
yes,
which is what we're talking about here, folks, and say, we cannot take any more people. We don't have the capacity to do it, because the reality is they don't have the capacity to do it. And this is why at the ACLJ we get to the bottom of this. We put forward policies with Congress. It passed the House. Not going to get through the Senate. That's why elections have consequences. But we also get you the evidence. And in our cover-up campaign, we're able to establish exactly what has happened here.
I want to go back to the phones at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Maria in Maryland on line 5. Hey, Maria.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I just want to let you guys know that I am boots on the ground working with the undocumented immigrants that are coming in. I live in the urban borderline Washington, D.C., and I wanted to let you know that an undocumented immigrant, as you already know, cannot find a job. It's very hard for them to find a job. Many are unemployed. Many are here alone. And if they have family, people are experiencing tremendous poverty, lack of health care, food, the basics. And due to the tremendous needs, they are being targeted by evil people, such as working with and not being paid for their work, and much, much more. I wrote.
Yeah, I think we're.
Okay, we're having a little bit of trouble there. So let me say, first of all, Maria, I appreciate your working with folks that are having difficulty. Here's the problem, and this is the problem. And I said that if you're going to flood the system with hundreds of thousands of people, well, then give them an identification card. I mean, this is simple stuff. Give them an identification card so when they do work, they're paying taxes and they can pay for their family so they can get medical care. That's why this whole thing's out of control. So we don't have a stop at the border, and then we just let people in who have to hide in the shadows while they're in, and it's our fault they're in the first place illegally.
And then she said, people say, oh, yeah, I'll give you this day labor job. And then don't pay them, because what are they going to do, go to a court? No, they can't, because that would get them in trouble. So
it is a humanitarian crisis.
The amount of abuse that these illegal immigrants ultimately face because they were fed a lie by coyotes to cross the border.
Who took their life savings.
And also, they listen to the Biden administration. They say, oh, it seems like this is a good time to come because they're not going to expel us. They're going to let us into the country. And you can take that as someone who might not speak English and say, well, if they're letting us into the country, that means they're letting us get the benefits of being in the country, which means being able to work, being able to receive social services, being able to send your kids to school, medical care, all these different things. And by the way, in a lot of cities, that is happening. And those institutions are either closing, I mean, they are literally shutting down hospitals because hospitals cannot afford to take so many people who don't have any insurance, which is these illegal immigrants, that they still treat, but then it overruns the system, so they're not making any money to keep their lights on.
No, I mean,
your infrastructure is destroyed.
That is the fundamental problem with all of this in reality, is the system can't handle it. People are suffering. They're suffering when they're coming here. They're being abused in the entire system. But if we don't protect our borders, we're going to lose control of the country. I mean, it's that simple. And it's that dangerous. We got a whole half hour of the broadcast coming up. Our senior counsel for global affairs, who happens to be the former Secretary of State and the director of the Central Intelligence Agency, Mike Pompeo, is going to be joining us on the broadcast. I want to say something about the ACLJ here. You know, our first cabinet official that worked with the ACLJ was John Ashcroft after he was Attorney General for George W. Bush. Rick Grenell was a member of the cabinet as Director of National Intelligence. Mike Pompeo, your support of the ACLJ allows all of this to happen.
Yeah, donate today at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Keep us in the fight on all of these issues. Donate today. ACLJ.org. We'll be right back, second half hour, secular. At midnight, Title 42 came to an end. And we have seen a surge at the border. A number of individuals, just as we were reporting, you know, numbers like 10,000, 20,000. There's also these groups that reporters are talking to right across the other side of the border in Mexico. And we're not just talking about Mexicans. In fact, I think that's probably one of the smaller groups. These are just people who happen to be in Mexico. A group of 10,000 or so Haitians. And then you go across, there's 5,000 Venezuelans. And then there's people from Africa, as far away, different countries in Africa, Central America, South America. And that's just at the southern border. There's also a problem at the northern border today because of Title 42 coming to a close. And what's the big part of that that changes everything? Listen, we already were having a border crisis that was overrun with Title 42 in place because CBP did not get the resources under the Biden administration so far that they needed to effectively utilize that Title 42 power that is now gone. It allowed you to apprehend someone crossing the border illegally and immediately expel them, no questions asked, because of the pandemic. We then had legislation put through to say, well, we've still got an epidemic because of all the fentanyl coming across the border that is killing the number one killer of Americans in the most important demographic in our country when it comes to those who are working and providing in the economy, 18 to 45. It's killing. It's number one. It's the number one killer. So we could have extended something similar to Title 42. The Democrats have said no. We are now seeing the consequences of that play out just as this begins. I mean, it's just beginning.
Here's the question that I ask, and I'm curious to see what people's reaction is. I'm not sure. I think there's a group of people that clearly get it of what's going on here. And I think there's a group of people that clearly, Logan, Jordan, have no clue and are almost putting their heads in the sand as if this is just going to stop.
Yeah, I think so. That there are people who pretend that this is not really happening. They can ignore it. It's not happening in their hometown, or they think it's not happening in their hometown. And it's become a political tool. What you're actually finally seeing is here as Title 42 ending, is you actually have President Biden going out there saying, oh no, it's going to be chaos. Oh, it's going to be problems. Oh, there's going to be a lot of issues. Really, for the first time ever, maybe acknowledging that there is this chaos at the border because he knows there's a good chance it gets worse and worse very quickly.
Let's take one of the calls. 1-800-684-3110. Let's grab a call.
Yeah, we go to Joanne in Ohio on line one. Hey, Joanne.
Hello, guys. I heard earlier today an exchange between the would-be ambassador to Jordan and Senator Hagerty about the importance of the border security between Jordan and Syria and the amount of American taxpayer dollars that are going to go to do that, but we can't secure our own border?
The tens of millions of dollars we give to the Jordanians to secure their at their border with Syria, because Syria is what? Terrorism, Houthis, all these rebel groups. I mean, there's a whole list of them. Hamas, Hezbollah operate there. ISIS was there. I mean, yes, we give everybody else money for their borders, and we can't get it through our own Congress.
Yeah, I've been to border crossings there. They're very serious. They have long areas, big, wide areas of no man's land that you walk between that they don't walk, but no one
else
does.
That's landmine, usually.
And that you've got to go in the specific corridor. Like we talk about those corridors, there's a corridor. You get there, you present your documents. You need to have documents show you're going to be in and out that day. So we have those kind of documents in the U.S. for workers that cross the border, that come into the United States to work a job and then they go back home at night. That's normal. That they have that too for like tourists. If you're in Israel, you can walk across into Jordan, but you go through a process. And the U.S. provides a lot of those funds all over the world to secure everyone else's border. I mean, we're fighting a border war for the Ukrainians. We're funding a border war. I mean, we hear those numbers from Donald Trump, $170 billion from the U.S., $20 billion from Europe.
And Europe's the ones in harm's way.
And again, I just want you to all realize we are working on all of these issues. And we've got top experts leading the way within the organization, helping us do the best work possible to protect Americans. At ACLJ.org, we ask you to support the work of the ACLJ. That's ACLJ.org. Donate today, ACLJ.org. We'll be right back with Mike Pompeo. Welcome back to Secular. As you know, we are facing a whole new world now at the southern border with Title 42, which expired last night at midnight. And we know there's migrant groups from over 120 different countries all planning. You can actually see it from aerial views, and even reporters that are in Mexico see these different groups and how they're planning to cross. We are joined right now to discuss this issue and solutions to what's going on in our border by our senior counsel for global affairs, former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo.
Mike, I'm glad you're with us because we've got obviously a major situation on our hands here. And you, not only were you the Secretary of State, you were the head of the CIA. And I start that because we uncovered in our litigation with Homeland Security and Customs Border Patrol evidence about the Biden administration basically hiding the fact that, as you all have said previously when you were in office, we were catching terrorists at the border. They were trying to get in through the southern border. And we've been able to uncover that at the ACLJ through this litigation. The problem is, as you point in your article that's out, Title 42 expires, immigration catastrophe's coming, and Biden's to blame. They've done nothing to prepare for this other than the president getting up and say, yeah, it's going to be chaotic.
Jay and Jordan, great to be with you all. Bless the ACLJ for the work it did to identify this problem, right? Terrorists coming across our border, people on the terror watch list that we find in Texas or in New York or someplace else. This can only end very badly over time. And as the scale of that problem grows, the risk of that a terror incident coming from someone who crosses in here illegally just grows exponentially. But your point's the perfect one, which is you have to take on the predicate of the Biden administration's argument. They say there's nothing you can do. It's always bad. That's just a lie. There's no other way to describe it. When Secretary Mayorkas says the border's closed, his president has to say, no, it's chaos. Those are lying to the American people. There is a solution here. You can solve this much the way we did. It takes lots of energy. It takes real focus and determination. You go back to remain in Mexico. Essentially, you tell the Mexican government, we're sending people back. That has two things that work in its favor. First, you send them back. Second, folks who are thinking about making this horrible trip across the Mexican desert to be victimized by these coyotes will say, nope, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to take that risk. I'm not going to get into the United States, essentially turning off the magnet. The second piece is you got to support these men and women of the CBP. If you get that piece wrong, it is not possible to have a safe and sovereign United States of America. And the Biden administration has whiffed on both of those. They did so knowingly. They knew the day they ripped these Band-Aids off, this was what we'd have. And we have not only chaos, but a gap in American security that is absolutely staggering, Jay.
Yep.
You know, Secretary Pompeo, I always wanted to point out to people that the only reason Title 42 went this long was because the Biden administration lost in court trying to end it earlier. And then, as I've preached it over and over, we've had Senate Republicans, House Republicans passed it yesterday, an immigration bill, which they said, no, they'll never be able to pass immigration and border security. They did. The Senate has put forward, also Republicans, a way to extend like Title 42 powers because of the fentanyl epidemic, and yet they vote no. Democrats vote no. So they tell us that they want to secure the border, but when they're given the opportunity to get the tools necessary to do that, they say, no, we don't want the tools. I mean, is the real long-term play here, which they are never going to, I guess they won't say on camera in a press conference, is let all these people in and then one day they're going to turn to be Democrat voters? Is that they're just, because that sounds pretty outrageous that we're going to allow this much crime, this much American death from drug overdoses, this much human trafficking because of just raw political demographic numbers.
Oh, Jordan, I think for some of them, that is absolutely the case. I'm sure there's others who have different reasons for wanting this. Some of it might be inexpensive workforce. It could be they just have this notion of, you know, America is this beacon and we have to let everybody in, whether it's legal or illegal. There's probably multiple reasons. But think about this as just the pure politics of this. The numbers of people who are coming in are so enormous. A couple hundred thousand a month. I'm from Wichita, Kansas. Wichita has 350,000 people. That means every even number day, the city of Wichita, that number of people is coming inside of our country. And they know, Jay and Jordan, they know America's never really effectively kicked folks out. So they know once they are in, they'll become something. They'll call them dreamers. They'll pick up another name. But the chance that they're ever returned back to Mexico after having spent a year or two and had children, started families, found a way to make a living, they're going to be here for the long term. And I think they think that works to their political benefit. So they have no interest in doing the things that we know work to protect our sovereignty and our border.
Yeah, let's talk about the things that work, because I always like offering solutions. Jordan mentioned what the House did. It's not going to get through the Senate. If you were in the White House, what would you, if you were the president or if you were advising the president, what would you say? What would be the action you would say needs to be taken now with the situation we're in? Right. Well, you went to let it got to this point, so that's a given. But if you were in this point right now.
It'd be very simple. Three ideas. First, make clear this is unacceptable. You're not going to let it happen. Send the message to people living in Haiti. Send the message to people living in Europe, all across the country that are trying to, all across the world who are trying to come here. We're stopping this and you're going back. You're not going to get into the United States. That message alone would decrease the flow dramatically. Second, you would begin to empower CBP to return folks home here, to take their asylum claims and then send them back into the country they came from. You would immediately start putting people on airplanes, flying them back to El Salvador, Nicaragua, Guatemala. You just return them home. And you talk about that very publicly so that people would know this is what is going to happen. You spend thousands of dollars. You risk your daughter of being raped coming across the border. Even if you do all that, and even if you get into America, you're going back to where you are. And then finally, a strategic plan to complete the border wall, to narrow the access points, is the medium-term solution to putting this in a place where we can have a lawful immigration system that respects what our founders knew mattered for American sovereignty. Those are the three things you would do on day one. You'd hold a press conference, and then you would tell your team, get it done.
Let's talk about something that you did get done, and it's unfortunately unraveling under this administration. I want to switch gears to the Middle East. Rockets are pouring down, especially around Gaza, but in other portions as well. Jordan and I, we have an office in Jerusalem, of course. We've done a lot of work over there, including at the International Criminal Court in The Hague on behalf of Israel's interests. But we've been there when those rockets come down. And it's terrifying for the citizens. They live with it. But what's the irony of this is we had such a stable situation in the Middle East when you were the Secretary of State. And in 31 months... I remember being there for the moving of the embassy to Jerusalem and the celebrations and the no conflict that took place, the signing of the Abraham Accords. I was in the Oval Office. You were there when the president signed the Golan Heights Declaration. And here we are 31 months later, and we've got complete chaos in the Middle East now with rockets falling on Israel.
Yeah, Jay, again, this is like the border. It didn't have to be the case. This was them coming in and saying, Trump, Pompeo did it. We're going to undo it. So they cuddled up to the Iranians. They infuriated the Gulf Arab states, and they didn't support our friend and ally in the nation of Israel. And those of us, the ACLJ has been at the forefront of this. Those of us who believe in fundamental human rights, basic religious liberty for everyone, we know that Israel is an incredibly important partner, and the ACLJ has done great work on that. I pray for your folks that are there in Jerusalem. I pray for everybody in Israel. And I pray that this administration will get its head out of its rear end and understand that the Israeli right to defend itself, the rightful homeland of the Jewish people for 3,000 years, should never be diminished. And when I hear the administration say, gosh, I hope they can all just get along, that fundamentally misunderstands who the terrorists are in the region. The Israelis have this right. They have an unmitigated capacity and right to defend everything that makes them a sovereign nation. And we should be supporting them without any caveats in doing it and getting that right. I want the Palestinian people to have good lives as well, but you can't kill Israelis. You can't kill Americans living in Israel. You can't conduct terror and reward those terrorists with money, blood money, martyr money, and think for a moment you're going to get America's support.
I want to thank you, Mike, for your service to the country, and we appreciate so much that you're part of the team here at the ACLJ as our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs. Mike Pompeo, thanks for being with us. And I'm going to tell everybody, this is the reason the ACLJ exists, because we're not just talking about it, and we have the leading experts in the country as part of the ACLJ team.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, to talk through these issues, to know, to be able to talk to someone who is led the State Department, led the CIA, understands those issues. We didn't get to about, we'll get to it next time with Secretary Pompeo, because it's going to be an ongoing story too, is the CIA involvement in the elections. I mean,
that'll be next week.
And again, there's just so much to always gain from their experience and also realize how things don't have to be this way. very simply. He didn't, you know, Secretary Pompeo didn't say it's very tough to handle what's going on at the border. It looks overwhelming, but then he laid out, boom, 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 boom. This is what you do right now. There's long-term issues you'd handle, but this is what you do right now. Boom, boom, boom. And we all have seen that work before. You make it clear to those families. If you cross, you might be divided up. So they don't cross. President Trump talked about that. You tell them, we're going to send you back. So you're going to spend all your money. We're sending you right back to your country. And even if you have an asylum claim, we're sending you back to Mexico until your court case comes up. And that could be a decade. So make that call before you even do that process.
And then if you want to come to the United States, come like immigrants do come to the United States. Get in line and do it right.
That's right. Support the work of the ACLJ, ACLJ.org. We're back. We're taking your phone calls. All right, welcome back to Secio. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. We're going to get right to those calls. A lot, of course, on this day that Title 42 has come to a close. And this surge at the border, I mean, it's just beginning. I think we're about to just see, unfortunately, just a disaster, because the Biden administration had all the time in the world to plan for it, had all the legislative opportunities presented to them, and they said no to all of them and just said, you know what, it'll be chaotic for a while. And that's something they accept as okay for Americans to deal with, even though it does not have to be that way. I want to go to the phones right off the bat. Deborah in Illinois on line one. Hey, Deborah.
Hi. Yeah, I had a question and a suggestion, a possible suggestion. But the question is, can the states use their own state money and build their own walls? That's the question. And then the suggestion is, well, you would want to offer the opportunity to build the wall for wages to Americans first. But if there's a gap in employment, maybe offer the opportunity. Don't force them, but just put it out there to the detainees that maybe they would like to help volunteer build the wall and get preferred, some preferred status on the path to citizenship, maybe pay them minimum wage, something like that.
You know, what you just said was a policy. The last part of what you said is a policy discussion. And the problem is they're not having any policy discussions.
Remain in Mexico. People mocked that. And they actually, we made a deal that made it economically
viable for these people to do it.
The Mexican government to say, okay, we'll do remain in Mexico. But Biden wanted to do away with that. Now, can you build your own wall? The answer right now is no. Now, that's definitely no for states that are not on the border. There's not even an argument ever to be made, because we have interstate commerce. The right to travel is a right that's been determined to be a constitutional right, the freedom to move. So you can't do that, and we don't want that in our country. There has been question about what border states can do. So far, in the last case of the Supreme Court, the court said very little unless they are deputized by the federal government.
In other words, you're calling up of the National Guard. That's what they mean.
Right. And so can you send your own Texas, can you create your own Texas Border Patrol Department? You can do some things.
Once they're in the jurisdiction,
like what Greg
you
Abbott
can
is
do,
doing, yeah, you they're can, right across the line.
Yes, but when it comes to the border, that is uniquely a federal government executive branch issue.
I do think it's
totally unprepared for this.
Potentially a time to challenge that again. There's been a lot of shift at the court. I don't know if there's been a shift on this issue particularly.
Probably not.
But,
not yet.
But you certainly could start thinking about bringing challenges. That was a case out of Arizona.
But none of that stops real policy from going forward right now.
No.
The House passed a bill. You'd have 22,000 new agents
the Senate
on the border.
The
Senate will not even touch it. That's the problem in all this.
That's right. Let's go ahead. Can we go ahead and take some more calls? I want to get through as many as we can. Let's go to Brandy, who is calling in North Carolina on line five. Brandy, welcome.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. Sure. This is a spiritual issue, what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a very evil entity. You know, Daniel talks about that in the book of Daniel. I know you guys are godly men. So I would like to challenge you guys with your organization. Call forth the pastors. They had no problem gathering around Trump, laying hands on him. Call the pastors and the preachers that know how to maneuver in the courts of heaven and get a verdict rendered on behalf of America to protect its borders. It's clear that we have an illegitimate administration in office.
Well, then let me tell you, Brandy, what's clear. What's clear is you have an administration in office that you could pray for, and we should. You pray for those in authority. But here's the reality. This is not, they're not doing this because they're not capable of doing something. They're not doing this because they don't want to do it. They don't. They think politically getting all these people in ultimately serves their political agenda.
He said multiple ways: long-term voting, short-term, even just because you believe in the idea of open borders, which is a whole George Soros policy, which is we should have no borders in the world, and there should be really no countries and no divisions like that. That's part of it. The other part of it is just the raw, real politic of we can bring all these people in, and one day they're going to get citizenship, even though. That's kind of a pipe dream to see if that ever happens. But if and when they do, they're going to be so reliant and their families and children and grandchildren, so thankful we were the ones that let them cross, that they're going to vote Democrat for decades to come. And that can sound ridiculously and absurd to you as just overly political. Let me tell you a reason why they're not doing anything because of that. That's it.
Yeah.
That is the one. That is 90% of the reason why they're doing nothing is because they want these votes one day.
Let's go quickly back. Let's go to Bill in Wyoming on line two. Bill, you're up.
All right, thanks for taking my call. I think technically I can say everybody's calling from the same state, and that's confusion. But my question is we've got Biden saying it's going to be chaotic. I've heard Mayorkas say they've been working on it for the past 2 years on what to do with this. My question is that we've got an assigned borders are assigned. Right now, it's supposed to be doing something, and yet I haven't heard a word from her. I haven't heard anybody talk about it.
And you're not going to, because let me tell you what picture they do not want. The president or vice president on the border. And you know what? When you're running these things, if you're the borders are, sometimes you got to report for duty. And it's the Ministry of Presence. You got to be there. They are not going to do that.
No, they barely send Secretary Mayorkas, and when they do, he's in the most like...
Benign
looking backgrounds. And they had that flip screen of him once while he was talking about how things were secure, and it was just showing the people pouring over, crossing dangerous rivers while he was talking. And so they act as if their head is buried in the sand, but I want you to be clear on this. Mm-hmm. It's like what Donald Trump said about Putin, and he said this about Xi. And you could say this about Biden, the Democrats too. They have a plan. They have a goal here.
Yes.
They are willing to put up with the chaos and the death and even the trafficking for a long-term political win.
I think that's absolutely true.
All right, let's take Kathy, who's calling Kentucky, probably the last call of the day. Tim, thanks for calling. We won't be able to get you. Kathy, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I just have a quick question. Can American farmers and ranchers and business people and landowners whose lives are being impinged upon by this, can they get together and take out a class action suit to force the government's hand to do something?
Listen, I understand the strain that this puts on businesses and local businesses and small businesses in these communities. I understand the strain it puts on the medical facilities in these communities. Especially law enforcement, here's the reality. And the answer to your question is unfortunately no. There's not a class action suit. There's not a civil action to compel the government to change a policy.
No, I mean, I think
the policy was unconstitutional.
The best thing you can do is when you see if there's been a crime committed on your property, you do have to call on law enforcement. And I know they're being overwhelmed in those kind of communities. But if you see a crime being committed, or you know they're being committed, a lot of these ranchers are seeing it on their property all the time.
And they're saying there's nothing they can do.
You gotta keep reporting it. So keep calling it in. Keep calling the local police and hope that they will have the time ultimately to go there and do something. The problem is it's usually those people get replaced by another group of people within 24 hours.
Yeah, Logan, we launched this campaign at the ACLJ to uncover this corruption, to uncover what's going on here, so that people understand staying in the fight is critical.
Yeah, and you can find out all the information about that by going to aclj.org/coverup. It's a real interactive experience. Also, while you're there, we're going to encourage you right now also make a donation. We appreciate that. You can see the big button that says keep us in the fight. Donate today. Do that. And also take a look at this incredible interactive experience put together by a team. So you get to kind of see the whole timeline, get to see some video content. You can actually look at all of the individual documents that led to this uncovering of what the Biden administration didn't want you to know. So do that today.
The terrorist cover-up at the border.
Yep, go to aclj.org/coverup. And obviously check out all the great content just at aclj.org in general. And follow us on all your favorite social media platforms and subscribe on all of your favorite podcast platforms.
And again, as Logan said, support the work of the ACLJ. You know what? You heard from the former Secretary of State, who's on our team at the ACLJ because of you. ACLJ.org. Have a good weekend.